Hey. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, hey, welcome back, y'all, to Life Unapologetic with Athena, where we live unapologetically unashamed. I'm super excited to be blessed to be back again with you all, bringing yet another episode. I'm excited to continue the conversation on books of destiny. We all have a book, and it is my prayer, my hope, my intent to communicate what God has been giving me to you about book of destiny, your book of destiny that will allow you to access and unlock opportunity to live in purpose, on purpose. So without further ado, I want us to go ahead and jump into Book of Destiny and Purpose. Hey y'all, hey y'all, hey, welcome back. Listen, this is part three of what's now a four part, and I'm hoping not a five. I take that back, Holy Spirit. However, I'm being obedient to God and doing these lives on this Book of Destiny and Purpose series. I'm being obedient to be consistent and to be disciplined. Y'all, listen, this is my microphone over here because not only am I recording this on social media, but I also record it for my podcast, which I'm being obedient to continuously post. So I pray that as individuals watch this video at whatever given point, that this encourages your heart to be consistent and to be discipline in what God is asking, calling, partnering with you to do. You know, we've been walking through this revelation of destiny, Book of Destiny, and our purpose, and really looking at practicality out of that thing, that purpose, that destiny. How do I access it practically? You know, I broke it down into, it was three parts, but yesterday ran really long, so it turned into four parts. Part one really looked at our substance. David said in Psalms 139:16, he went in to talk about God saw his substance, right? He saw his makeup, his DNA, his abilities, his skill sets. And then we looked at God's timeline, right? Carol's time, divine opportunities and times that God has given us all and continues to give us all to carry out those things that he's asking us to partner with him to do. And really looking at, you know, what that looks like for us practically, so that our focus and our efforts and our goal are not so much the things of the world, so much of the things that seem to be important, but the things of God. I think of the story out of the book of Haggai. The people of God were told to rebuild the temple or build the temple. And the foundation was laid, but it was almost like, I think it was 75 years later where it had not been accomplished. And it was because the people went their way and decided that building their lives and their homes and their careers and their hobbies and their children and all of these other things were of more significance than building the temple of the Father. And I think it's such a reflection on a lot of the ways that we tend to do things. I'm speaking for Athena Corday Stewart first and foremost, because I've built my career, I've built my life, I've built all of these things and obtained all of these things that are important. And yet what God has asked me to do, I haven't put as much tenacity and effort into. And so I thank God that I'm getting an opportunity to do that now. And I pray that this encourages whoever watches this to do the same. That story in the book of Haggai goes on to say that the people, because they were not being about their father's business, because they were not doing the things that God had called them to do, that they nothing lasted for them. Things seemed to always fall through. Negative things seemed to always manifest. And I can't help but see that in my own life in a lot of areas, that because I have not been consistent at the things that God has called me to do, because everything else seemed more important, that there's just been a lot of missed opportunity, a lot of inconsistent things. And so I'm looking to change that going forward, starting with just these lives, starting with just this series on the Book of Destiny and Purpose. The Word of God in Haggai goes on to say that as the people turn their heart to do the thing that God called them to do, that blessing began to flow. It was there. It was just a heart posture of obedience, and they began to see the fruitfulness of God. I mean, that story is good, y'all. That story is good, good, good. So we know that this wonderful photo here that I kind of put at the forefront is what has been a huge reason for this series, the Book of Destiny and Purpose. I actually went into my war room today and I had this photo up and I began to read and study Ezekiel and pray. And man, did I go up into the heavens with God. And it was a good time. I got a lot of direction, y'all. Listen, on just the prophetic word out of Ezekiel, this photo continues to give me life, because listen. When if you're not there yet in the prophetic, come on, get into the Spiritual Growth Academy, because you need to be there. There's so much that we get to see when we get in a place with God and sensitive to Him and His Spirit, that He begins to just speak out of so many things. And I'm grateful to God. So let's jump into part three, y'all. Part three should have been the last part, but there's a fourth part. I label part three judgment. We ended in just talking about judgment and the misconception of judgment, right? And the false lens of judgment, the heaviness of that word. We got to change the way we've been taught, y'all. We got to change the way we've been taught about being judged. We got to change the way you've been taught about going before God to overturn judgments, to see what the accuser is saying against us as it reflects to our destiny and our purpose. We got to do some work on this religious spirit. Some people don't like to hear about it, but that spirit of religion sucks, okay? And there's some work to do. But I want to continue in talking about this part of the series of judgment. We left off at the story of the servants who were given talents, and how those talents represent you and I, and the abilities and the visions and the dreams, the products and the businesses that God has put in our heart that we have kind of dragged our feet on. And so I want to continue on 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is where Jesus gave an account of their lives, right? The judgment will not be based the judgment would not be based on whether we did good or bad things, but more so, did we do the God things, the things that God has called us to do, the purpose things, the divine things that we're called to do in the earth. And so I want to start with 1 Corinthians 3:15, 3:11 through 15, which speaks of the day of judgment. It says, "So for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid." Now listen, let's break that down. God is saying that He predestined us to do something in the earth. I don't care if we're nurses, if we're attorneys, if we're doctors, whatever that looks like. If that's not what God called you to do, it's not what God called you to do. There's a foundation that has been predestined for us to discover and to build upon that God has already laid. I love this scripture because it says, no other foundation can anyone lay. We might chase after a million other things, but there is a foundation, a divine foundation, a true foundation, a destiny, a purpose-filled foundation of which we are to build on, that no one else can change. This is what this, which is Jesus Christ. We as Christians, as believers, as faith followers, we are in Christ. So if Christ is the foundation, then whatever we're doing every day in our lives should be centered, grounded, cored on who Jesus is to us and what he's called or asked us to do or partner with him to do in the natural while we listen and bring down things in the spirit. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. The day will declare it. David spoke of the days were laid out in these pages. And here we see the day will declare our work that has been built upon with these precious stones and golds and silver. It goes on to say, because it will be revealed by fire, the fire of the Lord. When we talk about the courts of heaven, shameless plug, we will be doing a live webinar on the courts of heaven. I am new to it, but I am jumping in with those who want to jump in and learn together, because there is so much I'm getting from this form of strategy coupled with prayer. That's amazing. However, we go on to see the Lord saying that our works will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, right? Of what sort it is. What is your work? What will it say for you? We talk about legacy, right? If we pass on, or our loved ones who have passed on, what did their works do? Or what did their works leave behind? Was there a legacy? Were there substance to what they did in the earth every day of their life? What did that do? What does it say about them, right? If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's works is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now listen, we got to make sure that our works are built out of gold, silver, and precious stones, so they are preserved in the fire of the Lord, in the judgment day, right? We know that wood, hay, and straw aren't necessarily considered evil or bad, but they are not as they're not able to endure, right? They tarnish, or they crumble, or they disintegrate over time. And this is a representation of us doing things practically every day that's not part of our purpose. Yes, we may get up every day and go to work. And yes, the word of God says that we all should work. We should not be lazy, that we should live a life that we take care of our responsibilities. But I think that we miss the fact that that doesn't negate that we were born and created to do something greater than that, right? And I believe that God is trying to get us back into a place that we focus first and foremost on the things that he's called us to do. Now, the word of God does say that everything that we do unto the Lord. And so some of our careers very well may be purpose-filled. God may be calling us to do things within our careers, but I would like to just encourage all of us to ensure that that is the case for us. Because we see here that there will come a time that we spent 75 years building the 401k, 75 years securing the retirement thing, 75 years or more trying to check off the bucket list, but will any of that stand in the judgment of the Lord? Will any of that be about the Father's business? Will any of that be purpose or destiny? Just saying. Because what God is saying in the scripture is that, you know, hay and straw and wood aren't necessarily evil works. They can be good things, but are not what is written in our book, right? These could be, we could be good-hearted people. We could be doing good things for people. We could be giving. We could give that bum some money on the side of the road. We could, you know, donate to this charity. We could do a lot of things that are good works, right? They're not evil, but they're not all that God has called us to do either. I remember a slogan saying, I did my good deed for the day. And you know, sometimes we fall into this space of, I read my devotion, my 15-minute devotional for the day, so I'm good. You know, we got this kind of Burger King have it your way walk of life or walk of faith that helps us feel like we did what we were supposed to do, knowing that it takes a little bit more than that. So I believe this is the thing we focus on more. When I look at this scripture, I believe that as he talks about these different types of substances, these different types of things that we build upon our foundation, that this focus on more of life, hoping it will produce a harvest. Like the things that we do a lot of times focus more on producing good things for our lives. And oftentimes it does, right? We do reap a harvest. We have a good paycheck. We have a nice home. We have nice cars. We have a beautiful family. We have nice clothing. Our pantries are full of food, right? We go on trips. And so we feel like we have this wonderful, bountiful harvest of life, right? Or this good life or this prosperous life. But as I was studying this whole piece that we're going through, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 25. It says, and the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. So I believe we do not understand the seasons of God. I believe we do a lot thinking that we are on a right track. And I'm speaking from my experience. This may not be you. So you listen, this is not a spirit of religion. This is just a place of personal experience and something I'm walking through right now. And this is for that other person that's walking through this something right now, that I put a lot of my energy not understanding the seasons of God for my life. And I went after the wrong things in this false perspective, this false understanding of provision, this false understanding of being taken care of, this false understanding of doing the right thing. And while I went after these things that did manifest a harvest, naturally, spiritually, it was nothing. What I noticed is that what I notice is understanding God's seasons, I tend to go after the wrong things, not understanding those seasons of the Lord, both naturally and spiritually, manifesting a harvest in a season of what I call Chronos. Chronos is natural time. But as this fig tree in Mark 11, verse 12 through 25, this fig tree represented missing the divine timing of God. Verse 14 goes on to say, then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. I believe we hear the words of God spoken over our lives, but as these disciples heard the word of God spoken, we miss the opportunity to gain revelation because we are not aware of the Spirit of God in the form of the spirit of wisdom and understanding, leaving us open to spiritual death. That fig tree looked like a tree. It had leaves on it. But in the season, it wasn't producing a fruit. It wasn't producing something viable for nourishment and life. And so many times our lives are producing things that aren't necessarily beneficial to our spiritual life and or the lives of those we've been called to serve. Listen, we are here to serve others. This world has been and continues to be a fallen world. And in that, there are people who need to know about God. In that, there are babes in Christ who need to grow. in that there are mature Christians who need to continue to grow so that they can continue to serve and feed others. And so the word of God says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, represents the fig tree. We seem to produce things, but are we really producing God things? Are we in our seasons of Carol's time, of divine times of the Father, getting downloads and revelation and then doing something with those downloads, doing something with those dreams and those visions? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Is the spirit poured out on you? And as a result, is there an action being taken because you now are in relationship with the Spirit of God? We got to get to a point where we're not like a fig tree missing its season. We got to get to the point where we're not cultivating the wrong things. We got to get to a point where we're cultivating the right things, allowing a harvest, a fruitful harvest to be given. God's word says that if I be in you and you be in me, it's like we're connected to a vine. And because we're connected, we will bear much fruit. So the word also says we will know them by the fruits that they bear. And so is what we do every day, is what we wake up chasing after every day, producing fruit. And is that fruit producing God-based fruit? And is that God-based fruit serving others as we produce it? God, help me to produce good fruit and help it to bless and serve others. I believe that because we do not understand the seasons of God, we go through kind of this rat race. And so I'm determined to know the seasons of God, both for myself and for others, and to serve others. God's word says in Hosea 4:6, and help me, Holy Spirit, with this, because you gave me this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject them, and they shall be no priest to me, seeing they have gotten the law of their God, or seeing that they have forgotten the law of their God, I will also forget their children. There's so many ways you can go with that. I believe that God is simply saying, know about me, seek me out, get to know me, get to know my spirit, be led by my spirit, be aware of my spirit, be guided by my spirit, because in that you don't reject me, you accept me, right? In that you make time for me. And as you make time for me, you gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do the thing that I've called you to do. But the opposite of that is rejecting me based on not giving me time, based on not spending the time necessary in my word, in prayer, reading a book that leads you to the word, that leads you to ask questions, that leads you to seek. In that, not doing that is rejection. And you not only can't be a priest, someone that can go on behalf of others who can't go for themselves or don't know how for whatever their season may be bringing, but it also affects our bloodline. It also affects our lineage. How do I know this? Because I'm affected by my mother. I'm affected by my father. I'm affected by all of those who are attached to my bloodline, who did reject God, who did not live a life in relationship with God. The result has been the burden for me to break those generational curses, right? And so we hate to look at these particular scriptures that have a kind of a negative connotation to it, and we take it out of context and out of a false perspective, and we begin to shy away from things like that. But those things that bring correction are to benefit us. And I believe as we're talking about seeking our destiny and seeking our purpose and walking in that, we need God to correct the areas in which we've been walking that we've been wrong. Verse 14 goes on to say, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, It is written my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. I believe that over time, we do one of two things. We abuse the gifts we have access to, as well as misuse our talents, producing what is pleasing in our eyes and strength, but not within the eyes of God or according to the word of God. I say that because I believe, for me, when I read this and when I was writing this, that when God was walking me through that scripture, we have, like I said in part one, abilities, we have skills, we have areas in our lives where we're just talented. It comes naturally. It's effortless. And I believe a lot of times when we tap into those skills and those abilities, whether it be through education, whether we build upon it, whether we build businesses upon it, that are more secular, or not even just secular, that are more, and I'm just walking through this, so walk with me, but are more focused on earning, that's where the misuse comes from. And I feel like all of these individuals, while it could be a lot deeper, I'm just going with where I'm at right now, as they were using their skill sets to produce a harvest, to earn so that they could provide for whomever they had to provide for, it was in the wrong context. It was in the wrong way. And it's not that God hasn't given us the ability to be money changers or dove sellers or whatever that looked like in that time, what it looks like today. But is it in the right heart posture and for God? Is it in purpose on purpose, right? And is it something that is based on us seeking God through prayer and relationship to know that what we do every day to earn and to move about the earth is in alignment with the will and purpose of God for our lives? I believe that for me, that's what it's been saying to me in this season. And I believe to others in this season. I think, like I said, oftentimes we misuse our abilities. You see, as the 10 talents, the one who had one talent, he misused his ability and did it was more than him just doing nothing. It was the fact that he wasn't in alignment. He thought what he did was in alignment with God based on what he observed in a wrong perspective and a false lens, versus those who were in alignment with the master, who were in relationship, who took time to know direction, to know what was expected, that they immediately walked in a direction that did what was expected based on the purpose, their purpose, that produced a harvest, that produced much fruit, that produced a tree of not just leaves, but a fruit bearing nutrients, life, prosperity, all the things that are spoken of in Psalms 1. I believe we can see this as we look back at the prophetic words spoken over and into us. We can also get insight by taking account on every negative word spoken over and into us by going to the word of God to see or counteract those negative insights, by then creating the changes we may not see for ourselves, but manifesting what God sees for us. When I wrote that part, God was saying that a lot of times we are who we are today in false identity because someone spoke something on us that caused us to go into this protection mode of, I'll get it done myself. I don't need to depend on anyone but myself. And that may have forced us into going into directions to be able to provide for ourselves. I'm speaking of myself, y'all. I grew up poor. I wasn't provided the best of everything. I didn't have a well-structured home. There were a lot of fragmented parts, and that created this thing in me to make sure that I was okay. Not only that I was okay, but it created this drive that I will never go back to where I had to grow up from. I would never be in that place again. And I believe that because of the negative things that were spoken in and over my life by people who should have been pouring into me positive things, because of the negative things that I heard in my atmosphere and in my environment, it created this hustle, this drive, this fight to not be ever back in that place. I didn't know to speak God's word and his promises over those negative things. I didn't know to encourage myself in the Lord. But I believe what God is saying is that if we are a product of the negative things that have been spoken into our lives right now today, if what we are doing to never be back there again, that we need to change that perspective. We need to change that direction of our lives and begin to go and see what God says about us and make sure that what we're doing, our heart posture is aligned with the promises and the words of God for our lives and not the negative connotation of man or man's perspective or mom and dad's perspective or grandma's, uncle's, auntie's perspectives or violators' perspectives on our lives that are causing us to drive in a direction to get away from that. God, I pray that that makes sense, y'all. I pray that makes sense. Like I said, I'm being obedient to God to walk this out live without it being filtered and well prepared, because I'm trying to get out of that A personality. And this is a part of me trusting God to walk me through. And so I go on to say, God's word says, who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Romans 8:34. Now, I love the version out of the, it's called the Common English Bible. It says, who is going to convict them? In it is Christ Jesus who died. Even more, who was raised and who also is at God's right hand. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Now, I have come to the revelation that the word of God says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding, that he, as in courts, testifies on our behalf of who we are prophetically, releasing what is written in our book to be manifested in the natural. And we choose to seek out and align ourselves with the will he has for our lives, that manifestation begins to take place. God is just, he's immense, he's vast. There's so many levels, so many things, so many facets to God, so many layers. Jesus sitting at the right hand is interceding. Interceding means that he's testifying, he's prophetically speaking over our lives so that the things that are meant for us to do and the things that are meant for us to be can be manifested naturally from the Spirit, naturally. I posted this morning something that God gave me while I was in prayer, that God's activities, Jesus' words, his testimony, his prophetic intercession for us manifest the events on earth, in us, naturally. So if Jesus is at the right hand pleading our case, this is jurisdictional language. This is why I'm going into the courts of heaven and I'm studying that, because there's so much that the enemy does in legalities that we need to know to break a lot of the issues that are manifested in our life today. But I just want to not go there and stay here. Jesus is speaking things in and over our lives. And if we in the natural would align ourselves through prayer and reading God's word to get sensitive to his Spirit, to be able to hear these things and align with these things in our lives, we would begin to see the manifestations of the things in the Spirit take place in our lives. I know this to be true, you guys. I know this to be true, and I can't wait. I'm excited to see where that goes for me. We continue the story of the fig tree at verse 19. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said, Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they saw will happen, it will be done for them. My God, prophetically, if I align with what Jesus is testifying on behalf of me, it will be done. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, that is in alignment with the will and the purpose for your life, y'all. Whatever you ask in prayer, you know, some of us are asking things and praying things that we haven't even been sensitive to hear what God is saying about the manner or saying about us or know what our purpose is. And we're not seeing resolve because we're not aligned with the Spirit of God and what God is saying about us, what God is saying about the situation, what God's word says about our purpose, what God's promises are for the will of God in our lives. So therefore, if I tell you whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, listen, that don't mean that just because you speak something in prayer and in your heart, you really believe that thing, that it is yours. This could even be a job. This could be a relationship. This could even be a need in your family. And you're praying, asking, and believing God for this thing to come to pass, but you're not asking God what his will is on this thing, what his purpose is at this particular season of your life. What is your purpose and your will for that thing in this season of my life so that I can align with what your purpose and your will says about where I am today? Then that thing, I believe we would see come to pass in the way that it should and not under the perspective or sometimes the false lenses that we wear. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Come on, this is good stuff. This is direction. We get so much direction into the book, into our book of destiny through the remainder of that text that I read. There's direction. Based on the power of words according to our faith, the power of forgiveness, which I like to think of as the right heart posture, because forgiveness starts where no one can see. I was just talking to my mom about forgiveness and she has been praying on some things. And we were just talking about wanting to see manifested change, like truly wanting to see what we're praying for, who we're interceding on behalf of, to really see the change happen. And we were talking about getting some of our stuff together. And we began to look at the power of our words, but also as, are we forgiving others? Is there situations in our past where we haven't fully forgiven? Are there words of negativity that have been spoken out of our mouths against others that we haven't gotten sensitive to the Spirit of God to say, show me my heart? David said, God, search my heart, like put a light on it. Show me the deepest parts. Give me the wisdom of my heart. Show me the deepest parts of my heart, because there are things that I need to get corrected so that the very things I'm praying for, the very people I'm interceding on behalf of, I can be effective because I'm fixing and correcting those things through your direction of the power of my words and fixing and cleaning it up, through your direction of forgiveness and fixing and cleaning it up. See, the power of forgiveness or the heart posture of forgiveness is things that people can't see but God, because forgiveness starts where no one can see. This is why God said in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Some of us got to stop looking at the appearance of things and thinking that that's God. On the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. If we just align with God's Spirit, we could honestly get clear, concise direction and see through the eyes of God our situation. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord will reward only what is written in our book. Got to align with this book, y'all. May we discover all that is in our book and begin to live in and out of that passion. I want my life to count for the kingdom of God, y'all. That's all I can say as I wrap this up, to be a part of seeing his purpose fulfilled on the earth. That's my goal. That's my prayer for the Spiritual Growth Academy. I know that God has called me to create this platform. I know that God has called me to do a lot of other things that are merging with this academy. I'm super excited about some partnerships that I've made to further train me up so that I can be a blessing to others. You know, today was a day of connecting with a lot of my tribe. And really just setting up time to talk and pray and see where everyone is and test the temperature of the spirit where people are. And so we're going to be doing in the Spiritual Growth Academy, but also here in this private Facebook page, a study on the courts of heaven. I believe that there are deeper strategies that God wants to give us so that we can couple those strategies in prayer and really see true change. I pray that this part three has blessed you guys. We got one more part, one more. We're going to finish that one more part, y'all, tomorrow. And I'm staying consistent. I'm so proud of myself, y'all, for being consistent and disciplined, but we're going to finish part four tomorrow. So Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that all the words spoken from your heart in this live, in this recording for the podcast, for the Academy, God, that it will bless that person that it's meant to bless or those people that it's meant to bless, Father, that we would, through these teachings, learn to align with your words and with your perspective and with your heart for us, that we would produce a harvest that is bountiful, that is able to nourish others and serve others in the right space, in the right perspective, Father. We ask that you would continue to show us our heart, Father, that we would clean those things up, those ill-spoken words, those ill actions, those wrong heart postures, Father, those moments in anger, those moments in disappointment, Father, those moments in frustration, Father, and that we would walk out the power of words of forgiveness first in our heart posture and then in our spoken word, God, that they would align one to another, as your heart, not as ours, not as man, but as going after and having a heart, as David, like David said, that he was a man after your own heart, that our heart postures would be after your own very heart, that you would show us your heart and that we would live from that space. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Yay. I did it, y'all. Listen, no makeup. I was like, I'm going to do this live and get it done, because I want God to bless where he's taking me in this season. And he telling me that that's going to start with consistency. So I'm proud of myself. I love you all. Until tomorrow, we're going to finish this thing out. And I'm super, listen, I'm excited about this Courts of Heaven live training, y'all. We're going to walk it out together and see what God gives. So if you want to be a part of that, I posted something in the Facebook community. Just drop a line. I'm going to create the link. I'm going off the cuff. So it may not be well prepared. God help me. You know, I'm a personality. Everything has to be well prepared and perfect, but I want to be obedient to God and do this thing. So we're just going to jump in. We're going to jump in and it's going to grow the way it's going to grow and it's going to go the way it's going to go. I love you all. I can't wait to see y'all tomorrow as we finish this last part out. Love you. Bye now.